thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Someplace along the line, we began to realize that everything isn't true. And we remember, most of us, that day where we realized that Santa Claus doesn't really exist. There is no such thing as Rudolph, that the Easter Bunny wasn't the one that filled that basket up. And we grow up, we become adults, and we begin to realize that there are limits, actually, on what people can do and how things work and what's available and what's not available. And we realize that not everything is possible. I remember, and you're going to laugh when I say this, because but I have to say it, I remember the day as an adult that it hit me that I probably was never going to ride in an F-16. Now, up till that point, someplace in my brain, I had this idea that somehow there would be this opportunity or a space or a place where I would get to ride an F-16, and all of a sudden dawned on me, not everybody gets to do that, to ride in an F-16, and very few get to even fly them. And I was sad. And I just realized that I won't get to fly in an F-16. And it was just this reality. And so life is full of those moments where we cross over into reality. As children, we believe what we're told. It's called in the Bible a childlike faith. Faith like a child. We have faith that those things are going to happen. And it's a beautiful thing. God created us to be like that. It's a beautiful, when you look at children and their faith, it's an incredible blessing. It's beautiful to behold. Some call that or describe that as naive. And sometimes there's even some negative connotations connected to that. The definition of naive is having or showing a lack of experience, a lack of judgment, a lack of information. They're credulous. They believe anything, a naive person, in a way so that you could actually say the sentence, she's so naive that she believes everything that she reads. Or he's so naive, he actually has naive attitudes towards politics, and so on. It reminds me of a story that I ran across a couple years ago about an old hillbilly who grew up in the Appalachian Mountains and was raised there in a little teeny village and grew up never wearing shoes, wore old clothes all the time. His name was Homer. Homer grew up, never went to school, and grew up and married a girl just like himself. And Homer and his wife eventually had a son. They named their son Junior, and all three of them realized one day that they'd never been to the big city. They'd always been in their little teeny village in the Appalachian Mountains. And so Homer said one day, what would it be like if we took a vacation as a family and we went to the big city and we just saw the big city and spent some money and did a big vacation, stay at a nice hotel, eat at nice restaurants. So they all agreed that that's what they were going to do. And they started to save their money for this big vacation. And it took them 3 years to save their money, but finally the day came and they loaded up their pickup truck and they drove to the big city. And when they got there, they could not believe what they saw. Lights everywhere and signs and more people than they'd ever seen in one spot ever. And big, tall buildings. And they got to the hotel. Homer looked over to his wife and said, Ma, you stay here. Junior and I are going to go check this out. So they went into the hotel, and Homer and Junior were blown away. There was a waterfall inside of the hotel and gigantic chandeliers that filled up the whole ceiling and stores inside of the hotel. And they were blown away by this amazing place. And then they heard this noise behind them, and they looked around to see this little teeny room. The doors opened and a whole bunch of people went into this room and the door closed. And Homer said, Junior, let's go see this room. So they walked over, and as they were walking over, the doors opened up, and in walked this little old lady with a cane, with wrinkles all over her face, and she stepped inside of the room, and the doors closed, and they just stood there, kind of amazed. 30 seconds later, the doors opened back up, and out stepped a beautiful, young, blonde. Homer couldn't believe it, and he looked over to Junior and said, "Junior, go get Ma." You know, the story makes us chuckle, but it's funny because we can imagine the simpleness of Homer, and we've all been there at one point in our lives or another, and we laugh because we see that childlikeness, and it's cute. It's actually kind of attractive. And we look at it, and it makes us laugh, and it makes us warm on the inside. As adults, though, we become too sophisticated for those simple kinds of things and for believing with childlike faith. And that childlike faith that God instilled in us as children, it begins to dwindle, begins to shrivel up, and it takes on the size or the realm of believable, what is believable, and what is realistic, what is plausible and credible. And that childlike faith dwindles down to operate within the bounds of what we call our comfort zones. And in those comfort zones, our childlike faith is only allowed to operate, because that's as far as our comfort will take us. Even after we become believers, and God calls us to faith, our faith stays pretty much within those bounds, those areas that we know are safe, that are plausible and realistic and credible, that aren't too outside of the bounds of what we know to be doable and not doable. And that's an unfortunate set of circumstances. In this series, from the beginning of the year, Pastor George and Pastor Jeff have started this series that we called Start, starting the beginning of the year, and really trying to set the pace for where we're going to go as a community of believers and where we're going to go as individuals in 2014, and what God has created for us individually and corporately, the land that He's given us to possess. And they've brought up an idea, a topic, if you will, a concept that I believe for most Christians sounds scary. And I know that as a pastor on staff, I heard the message and I sat in my chair and I got scared. So I know if I did, that the congregation did as well. It feels a little bit overwhelming. Pastor George said this. He asked us that very first Sunday to begin to identify an area in our lives where we needed to move forward and begin believing God for an unbelievable thing. And I remember writing it down in my notes that day. What does God want me to believe for in 2014 that's unbelievable? And I wrote it down with a big question mark, and it was a big question mark, and I chewed on it for the whole next week. Pastor George said that everything that we want is just outside the bounds of our comfort zone. So whatever you're wanting in your life in 2014, it may be a spiritual thing, it may be a physical thing, losing weight, quitting smoking, losing that addiction, maybe it's restoring a relationship with a loved one, maybe it's learning a new aspect of who God is, maybe it's a promise and a dream that He's put in your heart that you've just never seen it come to pass, maybe it's the salvation of somebody that you've been praying for your whole life. You want that for 2014. It's just outside of our comfort zone. Those things that we want, we're not going to see them achieved within the bounds of our comfort zone. And he said that as much as that we can believe in 2014, God will bring it to pass. Those are powerful statements, and they're a little bit scary. They're a little bit overwhelming because it pushes us outside of our comfort zones. And nobody likes going out there. as much as they might say that they do, they don't. Pastor Jeff, a week later, challenged us to believe God for the unbelievable in our lives in 2014. What is the unbelievable? He said, I don't want to just believe in the things that I can see, because faith is made up of the unbelievable, and the unbelievable is the things that I can't see. So I want to be a person that believes for unbelievable things, for things that I cannot see. And we want to be a congregation of people that believes for the things that we cannot see, for the unbelievable. So the question is this. How important is this to us? They've challenged us over the last 3 or 4 weeks with this truth, to believe God for the unbelievable in 2014 in my life. How important is that? I think that lots of times, many believers say, well, that's not really for me, believing for the unbelievable things. It's like being a super spiritual person. I'm just an ordinary Christian. I'm just an ordinary man or woman of God. That's kind of for those spiritual giant people. That's not really for me. And it's kind of like extra credit at school. I don't really need to do the extra credit, but if I want to, I can, but I don't really need to do it. And so God's not really calling me to do that. It's not what I'm supposed to do with my Christian life. I'm fine without it. And I believe that Jesus answers this question. How important is this in our lives as Christians, as followers of our Messiah, as children of God? How important is it? And I believe Jesus gives us a beautiful picture of a few people, a few men, and he paints this picture of how important this is. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 25 with me. And I'm going to read it out of the Message version. It's a story that we're all familiar with. We've heard it if we've been in church for some time. We've heard this story at least once, if not lots and lots of times. And so let me just put it into context. Jesus is talking to all of his followers. It's not just the 12 disciples. He has just come out of the temple in Matthew 24. And he is, they're walking outside of the temple in Jerusalem. And his disciples start to say to him, hey, Jesus, check out the temple. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it magnificent? Isn't it the most glorious building you have ever seen? And then Jesus begins to give them what I call parables of perspective. He begins to speak to them about the bigger picture, the bigger plan, the kingdom of God, and how we fit into that kingdom of God. And he kind of ties it into the end days and what people are going to be like in the end days. And he says this in Matthew 25. Verse 14, and I'm reading it out of the Message version, so it's a little bit more contemporary. He says, it, or the kingdom of God, is also like a man going off on an extended trip. He calls his servants together and delegated responsibilities to them. To one, he gives $5,000, to another, $2,000, and to a third, $1,000, depending on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, that first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same. But the man with the single $1,000 dug a hole and carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those three servants came back and settled up with them. To the one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investments. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. Now, from now on, be my partner. Then the servant with the $2,000 showed him he had also doubled his master's investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. Then the servant given $1,000 said, Master, I know you have high standards and you hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place, and I secured your money there. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the very last cent. The master was furious. "That's a terrible way to live," he said. "It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was if you knew that I was after the best, why didn't you at least do the least? The least you could have done would have been to invest the sum with the bankers, where at least I would have gotten a little interest. Take the 1,000 and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of this play it safe who won't go out on the limb. Throw him out into utter darkness." You see, this is very important to Jesus. And I believe that he paints a picture for us of what it means to him, for us as his children, for us as his followers, to believe him for the unbelievable. Let's look at that. And I think if we dissect it a little bit, we're going to learn a few lessons. And I want to point out four of them tonight. First thing, we're all servants in the kingdom of God. There's no such thing as some of us are servants and some of us are not. Some of us are called to do work and others are not. We're just bystanders or looky-loos or non-participants. We're all participants. We're all servants in the kingdom of God. That's the first lesson. The master came to all of his servants and he gave them responsibilities. Number two, every single servant is given a responsibility from the master. There wasn't one that was left out, and some given some work to do, and others not given work to do. All were given work to do according to their abilities, according to the talents that God had placed in their lives, and asked by the master to do something with that. Number three, the responsibility that each one has is to manage the master's property, to oversee it, to control it, to handle it and to deal with it, and to run it because it belongs to him. It belongs to the master. It's his property. It's his money, his assets, his wealth. And each servant has the responsibility then to manage what God has given to them to manage. Number four, God has high standards, so he demands the very best of us. This is the way the Message version says it. If you look at other versions of this same story, the same parable, the servant describes the master as a hard man, as a man who is hard to please. Over and over again, we get this picture, not that Jesus is mean, not that our master is hard-hearted, but that he has high standards. He has high expectations for his people. The best teachers in the schools have the highest expectations for their students. They believe the very best is capable from their students. The best parents are those that see in their children the very, very best and call them to a higher standard. They don't let them get away with being lazy and with putting away their work and not giving the very best of who they have been created to be. God has the highest standards and expectations of us. He has an expectation that we will live big lives, that we will live faith that risks, that we won't play it safe. Because there's no room in God's kingdom, according to this parable, there's no room in God's kingdom for people who are going to play it safe with God's investments, who are going to play it safe with what God's placed in our hearts. There's no room for us to hold on to it out of fear and to later say to Jesus, I was afraid I was going to offend you if I didn't do this right, so I didn't do anything at all. I was afraid I was going to fail, so I didn't do anything at all. And we hold back. So how important is this to God? This is very important. We see that it's his property. It's his assets. It's what he's invested that he's given to each one of us. And he wants us to be people of faith and to carry high standards of faith. He wants us to believe him for believable things that are outside of our comfort zones. But he also wants us to know, and this is the key right here, he wants us to know that he is a God that can do anything. There's nothing that he can't do. And he wants us to know that he can do it in our lives. Take a look at this video. See, most Christians will say, yes, I believe that God can do anything. We say that wholeheartedly until it comes to our situation, until it comes to what God is asking us to step out in faith and believe with all of our hearts. This last weekend, a couple weekends ago actually now, we have a 10-year-old son, and he's gone through the last couple of years just a really tough situation in his life for a little boy. And so on Sunday night a couple weeks ago, it kind of came to a head. And so there we were discussing it again. And I said to him, Josh, we need to pray about this and believe that Jesus can change this situation in your life. And he started to cry and he was very upset. And he said, we've been praying about it for 2 years and Jesus hasn't done anything. And, you know, the heart of a father, I just cringed on the inside. Now what am I going to say to him? And I said to him, well, Josh, do you believe that Jesus can do this in your life? And he said, yeah. I said, do you believe that Jesus can do this? And he said, yeah. I said, do you believe that he can do it for you? And he said, no, I don't. I said, well, why not? He said, because God's too busy. And I said, so God's up in heaven and he's saying, oh man, there's Joshua Mott's prayer again. Dang, I really wish I could do something about that. I don't have time to do that right now. I guess I'm going to have to put it off till later. Maybe I won't even get it done at all. Do you think God's doing that? And Josh said, no. So we started rehearsing this thing. I said, Josh, do you think it's too hard for God to heal a sick person? No. Do you think it's too hard for God to heal a person who's full of sin and remove their sin? No. Do you think it's too hard for somebody, if somebody's blind, to have their eyes opened? No. God, we said over and over, God can do anything he wants to do. There's nothing too difficult for him. But in the end, he kept saying it, he won't do it in my life. And I believe that that's where most of us land. How do I know that? Because it happened to me. The very next day, there I am driving in my car, and I'm thinking about this message, and I'm thinking, again, I wrote in my journal, in my notes, what is it that God's asking me to believe for the unbelievable in 2014? And it's blank in my mind, and I'm thinking, really? There's nothing, Mike, that you can believe God big for? Really? And I'm just sitting there thinking about it, and the Holy Spirit poked me in the heart and said, yeah, there's that one thing. Oh, yeah, I said, there's that one thing. But that's to God. It's God can't do that. It's off the table. It's water under the bridge now. Too much time has passed by, and God can't do anything there. And the Holy Spirit poked me in the heart again and said, isn't he the one that gave you that vision in the first place? I said, yeah, I guess he did. And isn't he big enough to do the thing that he said he was going to do? Well, yeah, he can do it, but not that. That's too big. It's untouchable now. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's the thing. That's the thing I want you to believe for in 2014. So I'm saying publicly, that's the thing. I'm not going to tell you what it is. That's the thing I'm believing God for this year. And this is where I'm at with that. I cannot even imagine how God can do it. But he's not asking me to figure out how he can do it. He's asking us to step out in faith and just say, Jesus, I'm going to believe you because you told me to. No matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter how many times I've prayed into it, no matter how much time has passed, I'm going to believe you. Maybe God is asking you to believe for a job this year, for a breakthrough at your job this year. Maybe God's asking you to believe for healing in your marriage. Maybe it's the salvation of one of your children. Those are things that when it comes to our story, we go, that's off the table. That's outside of the realm of where God wants to work. He can do it in somebody else's life, but he can't do it in my life. He wants to do it in other people's lives. He might even want to do it in my life, but he can't do it in my life. I know that there are many people in this room that there's that one thing that you're not allowing to come onto the table because it's outside of your comfort zone, because it's outside of the realm of what you believe is possible. And your faith hits that wall. I want to say to you tonight that Jesus is inviting you to take us, it's a small step over that line. You don't have to have the faith the size of gargantuan. You have to have a small, little, teeny piece of faith. That's all that Jesus asks us to have, to take that one little step over the line to just say, I do not know how you're going to do this, God, but I'm going to believe you that you can do anything, that nothing is impossible to you, that if you want to do it, you can touch that situation tonight and bring healing, whatever that situation is. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Have you asked yet, Jesus, what that thing is? Pastor George and Jeff have challenged just over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I know personally, I keep putting it off till about a week ago when the Holy Spirit pinpointed it. And I want to challenge you to look in your own heart and to see what it is that God's asking you to do. It's a part of our responsibility, if you will, of being a part of the kingdom of God, being a servant of Jesus to the master. It's not an option. It's not an option. We don't get to say pass on this one. We don't get to say that's for somebody else. We have to take those steps of faith. And I want to encourage you that Jesus is waiting for us to do it. And as soon as we say, yes, I'm just going to believe, God goes into action. But he cannot move until we give him the freedom to do it. He cannot make that happen until we throw out our faith on the table and say, I don't care how you do it. I'm going to believe that you're going to do it until the day I die. I'm going to believe you, not just for 2014, but for 15 and 16, till the day I die. I know that you can do whatever you want to do. You're God, and nothing is too big for you. There's a biblical precedence that we need to see, and I'm just going to go through this quickly because we're out of time. But there's a biblical precedence that we need to understand, that God is calling us to believe that he can do anything. And he says it over and over again in his word. And not just once or twice. He says it several times in several different situations to lots of different people. In Genesis 18, 14, Abraham and Sarah, we know the story. And they're old now. They're in their almost hundreds. Sarah's 90, Abraham's 100. And God comes to them in the form of an angel and says, this time next year, you're going to have a child. And Sarah does what? Yes, God, thank you. No, she starts to laugh on the inside. What? Am I an old woman with wrinkles and way past the age of bearing children? Am I going to enjoy that pleasure? Ha! No way! And the angel says, is there anything, in verse 18:14, he says, and let me find my scripture, he says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing's too hard for him. He says, I will return to you at this appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Guess what happened? Exactly what God said was going to happen. In Numbers 11:23, Moses and the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They're in the desert wandering around. Children start to complain, we don't have any meat. We're hungry. We want meat. We're tired of manna. And God says, okay, I'm not going to just give you meat for a day. I'm going to give you meat for 30 days, for a whole month. I'm going to stuff you with meat. And Moses says back to God, God, even if you slaughter all the herds of flocks of sheep, that's not going to be enough food. And even if you get all the fish and gather them out of the sea, that's not going to be enough food for, this is 600,000 people. And the Lord says to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Now you will see whether my word will come true for you or not. And he did it. They had food in abundance, meat in abundance. He stuffed it down their throats, if you will, for a month. Quail rained out of heaven, rained out of the sky. In Jeremiah 32:17, the Jewish people have been invaded by the Babylonians, and they're taking all their land away. And God says to Jeremiah, take some money and go buy a piece of land and own that piece of land as a demonstration that this land belongs to the Jewish people. Jeremiah says, how that we're invaded by enemies. Our land isn't ours anymore. How can I say that, how do I have the faith to believe that this land is going to belong to me? And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he said, see, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything so hard that I am unable to do it? In Zechariah 8:1-6, the Jewish people are now in captivity, and in captivity, God starts to promise to them, I'm going to bring you back to the land of Israel, and I'm going to establish you there. And he says, this may seem impossible to those of the nations who are left, but it's not impossible for me. And he describes a scene that is impossible in the eyes of these captive slaves in Babylon, of them living in their land again, and of old men being safe to sit outside in the public squares, and of children running around and playing. It's an unbelievable concept to them. And God says, it may be impossible to the nations. It may be impossible for humans, but nothing is impossible to me. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's talking about what it takes to enter into the kingdom of heaven and that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And his disciples hear that and they go, then who can enter into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says to them, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So I want to ask you tonight as we finish this up, God's been poking on your heart throughout this series, and I know tonight, what is that thing in your life that seems absolutely impossible? With God, it's not impossible. And he wants you to bring that thing, that unbelievable thing, that thing that's so far outside of the bounds of what you've ever dreamed could happen, and he wants to make it happen. Now, I said this to my son the other night. I said, Josh, so what is it? I said to my kids, what is it that you would like God for you to do in 2014? Something big, something impossible that just seems absolutely, he said, I want wings so that I can fly. I said, buddy, that's not going to happen. Biologically speaking, that's not going to happen. God doesn't do those kinds of things. God does heal marriages. God does restore relationships. God does heal sicknesses. God does give you the very best job. God does supply your finances. He can do anything. He does answer the desires of our heart for a mate. He does bring you into the promise that he promised you 40 years ago. God can do anything, and he wants to do it. He wants us to know more than anything else, more than giving you the desire of your heart, he wants you to know that he can do anything. Because when we know that, then our strength gets stronger. And then we become a mighty people for God. And so that's my prayer for us tonight. Would you stand?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.